Should I make that the cold open?
Yeah, but just the whole thing is bleeped. After watching Bleep, I understand why Bleep is a popular bleep on Bleep. Welcome to Tunnel Talk, a No Facts, All Feelings wrestling podcast. I'm Allie. I am Allie.
And I'm Anne. And I'm Leah.
Oh, listeners, it's about to be a rough ride because Anne is traveling this week to celebrate late Christmas with family. And it's just Leah and me, and Leah just raised her beer. So, you know we're doing. She's got a beer. I've got some possibly toxic wine that I did just bring the cup back over. I'm going to have another little sip. and we're here to party.
I hope any part of this episode makes it to air.
We're not confident that we can do this on our own.
No.
And but I think
it's gonna be good.
We're worried about some of the things we might say. Can I be candid with our listeners? We're worried about things we might say tonight.
It's a dangerous episode. Why couldn't this have happened during the Connie when we were respectable?
My God, I know. I miss it every day. Can you believe that during the Connie, we were almost religiously for like 3 weeks, but tuning into Collision?
Yeah.
When I realized I guess I was driving this past weekend, so it is understandable. But I forgot that Rampage and Collision even happened over the weekend and then went to look it up. And I felt so sad. I was like, Tony, where's the Connie? Which would have forced me to watch. And I would have said things like, well, that was fine. The Connie stuff was great.
I just envisioned, like, maybe what they need to do for Collision is that they just every week have a little tournament. And it's like, oh, you get to watch it.
A special little tournament. Wow, it's going downhill already. Leah, how are you doing this week?
Well, it snowed earlier. It snowed over last weekend, then it was like, then abruptly got very, very warm. And when there's like swings in weather, it really dysregulates me, and I'm unable to like really process any part of my surroundings.
Yeah, I don't like them either. I like when it's consistently one thing. Yeah. And in Minnesota, it has been consistently very, very cold. So we're doing okay. I went out. I had to get some LaCroix this evening. So I went out and in my little jacket and these jeans that have a big hole in the knee. And I was like, oh, it's a little cold out here. And it was 16 degrees. And I thought, you know, unfortunately, once you've been living out in the Midwest for long enough, like, you do become someone who's really proud of, like, I went out in the cold and I wasn't dressed for the cold, but it was fine. And it just is what it is. Like, you think that won't be me, but it is you. You're like, I'm a real Midwest bitch.
Yeah.
But I don't think anything interesting happened this week. So aside from that, you want to talk about wrestling?
I think we have some good things to talk about.
I thought you were just going to say, I think we have to. Yeah, I think we're contractually obligated to. So let's get into it, baby.
The Social Suplex is demanding an episode on their desk in the morning.
That's right. We said, we can't do it this week. They said, get in there and record an episode. So just kidding, guys. We do it because we love it and we love you. Let's start out by talking about all Sting and Darby. Okay. So I can't. Last week on Dynamite, Darby fought Takeshita and lost. Is that correct?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing is that, like, we had the time of our lives so much that it truly was like, I don't care who won. We all had a good time.
We all had the best time. He definitely did lose because Don Callis was holding Takeshita's hand up at the end. Someone's gonna be like, you made that up. That didn't happen. Okay. So it was a really horny match. This week, we followed that up with a Sting Darby versus Takeshita Hobbs in this main event of Dynamite. So this also featured a lot of Darby getting thrown around in increasingly awesome and terrifying ways, in old-fashioned use of the word awesome. Sting also got thrown around quite a bit. I need that old man to make it safe to march.
Yeah, he's got to make it to Revolution. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say ravioli. Ravioli.
He's got to make it to ravioli.
Got to make it to ravioli, the PPV. Did you like the match, Leah?
I really did. There was the most I really liked Hobbs, too. And I think someone in our group chat pointed out that, like, Hobbs was also trusted with Big Show.
That was me.
And so it's... Was that you?
That was actually like, me, yeah.
Well, you know, one of my friends in the group chat said this very wise thing. Anyways, I was just very pleased with everybody on the screen. I was just having a very nice time. Although, I will say, like, I was started getting deranged towards the end of it, but the parts that I watched was pretty good.
Listen, guys, we really, 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 really needed to see the Young Bucks. I mean, I'm a little concerned about what podcast you would be listening to right now if we had not gotten to see the Young Bucks this week. And I don't know that it would have been enjoyable for anybody. Or maybe it
no
would have
Young
been.
Bucks and just me and you, no one to control us out of it, no restraining hand. It would just be you and I playing dirges.
They were my north, my south, my east, my west, my morning meal, my noontime rest. I thought that love would last forever, Leah. I actually was wrong, though. No, but guys, okay. So that was our vibe towards the end. In one of Tony gets an overrun every week now. Is that what's happening? Like a 10-minute overrun.
I think Dave Meltzer, like people are complaining to Dave Meltzer about it on Twitter just now. And I think Dave is like continuing to take the tack where he's just so unsympathetic, where he's like, so change your DVR settings. Would you rather it be a rushed show? I don't see the problem here.
Honestly, I guess I am with him, but it just makes it harder to know. Like sometimes you're just like, are we getting something in the overrun or... But I guess I should have known. Anyway, whatever. Sting and Darby won the match. Tony Schiavone came out and in the ring asked Sting who his final opponent is going to be at Revolution. Brief pause. Cue super kick party. We get the Bucks. We get all the galaxy art and the Bucks come out. And they are, and we haven't seen them in months, Leah. We haven't seen these men in months, okay?
Like six months?
6 to 9 months. Yeah. Length of baby. Yeah. So they come out and they are wearing, would you like to describe the look?
I would say that Nick was dressed like a Backstreet Boy. He was wearing an all white suit with a hat would you call that?
I think it's a Kangol, isn't it?
Is it a Kangol?
I think
I think so. And Matt was conversely dressed in all black.
No hat.
Wearing a very delicate woman's necklace around his neck.
Nick had a chain too. That was what was given. I guess that's why everyone went Italian. Kind of mafia zone for Nick was the chain. They weren't getting that as much from Matt's delicate little necklace.
They both grew hideous little mustaches.
Oh my God, so nasty.
And they came out with their most serious faces, staring threateningly down at Sting. I ascended. I hit a new like level of happiness in my body.
We needed
this
win.
Are obnoxious and have terrible facial hair. What could be better?
Nothing could be better. And I loved. Now, Nick actually, I will say, was very good at just looking kind of aloof above the situation. He's in his neat little, as JR said, these Bucks look very clean or something. Where I was just like, what does that mean? Okay.
They've showered recently.
They've showered recently. My God, JR. But I thought Nick looked pretty credible as like just kind of like serious, like taking it in. Matt wanted to ham so bad. Like, you could just see that there were moments where he was like, what do you do with your face if you're not hamming? And of course, it's like what they're doing is hammy in its own way, but it's a different way. I was transfixed. I want to hit you with something.
I'm so ready.
So I'm looking at the pictures of the two of them, just delighting. And I keep looking at Nick or at Matt and thinking, now who does he remind me of? Like, what is this making me think of? And finally this morning it hit me. Do you know in the Addams Family, when the Gomez and Morticia have the baby and the baby is born with slick back hair and a little mustache? That's all. You look up the little baby. It's not, I don't think it's Pugsley. Whichever little baby it is. Seek out the baby, picture of Bebe, and you will see that this is what Matt was giving.
Okay, his name is Pubert?
Pubert, yes.
And I know that you know what you're talking about because you're the one who made this joke, but when I look at this, I fucking lose my everlasting mind. Yeah.
With agreement. Exactly. With agreement. Yeah.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Of course. I'm really glad that you did not say this to me earlier because
I almost loosed this in a group chat or two. And then I thought, Allie, keep it close to the vest because you're going to want this later. You're going to want a live react to that with just the little mustache. We were so happy to see these men. We'll post that one. We'll post that to the Twitter. So happy to see these men. Wow. And so now the implication, of course, is that they will fight Sting at Revolution, and that is Sting and Darby. And I mean, if you didn't do that at this point, I don't know what you're doing, but I believe that Brian Alvarez also said today that that is the current plan. How do you feel about that, Leah?
I feel very, like, I don't know, like, very sweet about the fact that, especially because Brian specifically said that Sting and Darby fought the Bucks, I think, last year. I remember the match, but I don't remember why.
I think it was at Forbidden Door. I think it was a six-man at Forbidden Door, and that they each had a New Japan man. Now, I could be making this up completely, but I think that might be what happened.
Yeah. It sounds right. But apparently Sting had the time of his life. He had a really great time, and he picked the Bucks. And, like, yes, that's what the Bucks do. And, like, Dave's apparently was like, well, that's the thing, is that the Bucks can carry anyone to a great match. And it's like, yeah, if I was Sting, I would also choose the Bucks. You have fun, and you won't get hurt. Like, hello?
Yeah, you won't get hurt. You're going to look good. They're going to do everything they can to make you look good. Like, I can't believe that we had to have, you know, it's like, whatever, I did ignore most of it, but a day of discourse on Twitter.com with people being like, acting like they can't understand why Sting would make this choice instead of, many are saying, choosing FTR. It's like, why would they choose FTR? Are you on drugs? Why would you choose FTR over the Bucks? And then you've got old, like, Matt Coon types out there being like, oh, and then the Bucks will make this moment all about them, classic stuff. And it's like, oh, that was Eric Beeston, right? Eric Beeston. bleep these men's names if we shouldn't be dragging them through the dirt, I guess. No, but
I'll discuss Eric Beeston all the time. For new listeners, I read the Bleacher Report recap every week, and I'm obsessed with Eric Beeston because he can never bring himself to lie, but he hates the Bucks so much, which means he ends up typing sentences like, obviously it was a great match. It was a perfect match. It was, the crowd was on its feet. Everyone was really happy. All of the moves were spotless. I guess if you like that, whatever. I'm done with this. You're just like, okay.
But what was, but his, yeah, that was the exact picture. What was the thing he said this week? He was like, well, of course, and of course the Bucks take a little shine off Sting's retirement for themselves, as to be expected. And it's just like, if you do not think that fucking FTR getting involved in this match wouldn't have involved them shine mining Sting's retirement, you are lying to yourself. You are a dirty, rotten liar in your own head. Get help. Seek help.
I lost my mind. Somebody was like, all right, well, an FTR match would have been better. A Sting and Darby versus FTR match would have been better than the Bucks. And somebody replied to that and was like, dude, the 2.0 match versus Sting and Darby was better than FTR.
I'm thrilled. If we set aside, obviously, I did have to get into my constant petty anger at FTR. But if you set that aside, I just love this on its face for itself, not against anything. I love the idea of getting to watch these guys mix it up for the next couple of months. I know the Bucks will give Sting and Darby a great last match. And then Darby, of course, will go to Everest. So we'll see what happens there. And I'm just so happy that they're back. I miss them so much. I'm so interested in what new characterizations or new iterations of the ongoing Bucks characterization are going to come alongside these absolutely flabbergasting looks.
I'm honestly so relieved, because I think a lot of the chatter we were hearing was that they were going to like really reinvent. Like, there was talk about them like leading a new faction and like talking about whether they were going to rename, or like there was like a lot of talk. And I'm like, no, they just got new facial hair. And that's all we needed. I'm sure that there's more stuff coming. Like, I mean, I'm sure that's not it. But like, part of me is so relieved that I'm like, yeah. That's all we needed, a break and a mustache. That's okay. That's exactly what I needed.
A break and a mustache is the new shave and a haircut. I did wonder. Oh my God. Yes.
Break and a mustache, $2.
You can't get this on Meltzer. You cannot get this from Meltzer.
That's why Social Suplex pays us the big bucks.
Yeah. I did wonder, we, of course, have been over here rooting for JB coming back potentially as part of a new Bucks faction. I love JB, and he's my little baby. And I did think, on what terms did he last leave Darby? Because we are starting really early, like, to be building to a March pay-per-view. Like, they got to fill some time, you know, in the next couple of months. So they might need a couple more men involved, I have to assume.
Yeah. I mean, I would give anything for JB to come back now, and with the Bucks would be perfect. I don't know who I'd put on Sting and Darby's side. Like,
I don't know who
really
they
do not need Ric Flair to be any more involved than he
Maybe
is.
OC gets back in the mix. He's been on their team before.
So true. It's like when you need an extra man for a tag, yeah, it's OC.
OC is there. State Farm joke. Any other thoughts about this? I'm just looking. Of course, we're just having so much fun that I'm like, I have no idea what we've discussed, to be honest. I don't know. I don't think we got anything else. We're just happy, right?
We're just happy. I think we're in. Like, if they let this feud build the way feuds normally do, where like, you know, there's some promos, there's some singles matches before the big tag match, you know.
Little Nick Darby match, little boys on the ropes.
If they do some of that stuff, yeah, I think we'll all have a great time. But if they do what they did to the Bucks last year, and it's like we get one 15-second pre-tape every 3 weeks, I'll kill myself, Allie.
I love it. Your energy is kind of like, it's like you're smiling real big, cozying up to Tony with a gun in the small of his back, being like, what I've been thinking for this feud is maybe just do it normal, Tone. Maybe just do it. Hey, this could be crazy. The gun is just digging in. this could be crazy, but I'm just thinking, just do it the way you'd usually do it. You know, couple promos, couple matches.
That is the vibe. Yeah.
What do you think about that, Tony? How does that strike you? I think they're going to do what Sting wants. And I have to assume that Sting wants a good program. So I think we're in with a fighting chance for the first time in a while.
God, it is so funny that it's like people keep being like, yeah. And like Sting will put somebody over on the way out. And like, at first I really honestly was like, he's going to put the Bucks in. That seems very funny, but at this point I'm like, yeah, somebody needs to.
Somebody needs to. I do think that it would be it's already a real statement from Sting, right? Like Sting is saying like, of course these guys are like a big enough deal to be my last match. So if he put him over, I think it would be nice.
Yeah,
I think so. It's so funny. I just love every time someone says to me, in this, you got to leave this business on your back. When you come into wrestling late in life, you hear things that you're like, do you hear yourself? That's what you're...
The language. Yeah. The lingo that is being said by people with straight faces, and they have no problem with it. And you're like, okay.
And somehow it's like, then you feel their judgment, like you're a pervert for saying like, that sounds crazy. That sounds like sexual. Just bleep that. Okay. Let's move on to kind of a broader perspective on Dynamite. So we were back in Daly's place for the first time in a while. I can't remember the last time we were there. And it felt, we were, of course, had all our little fingers and toes crossed because everyone was making a big deal about like Daly's Jacksonville homecoming. We're back in Daly's place. So we were like, bring mommy's little Bucks back. We also said, bring mommy's little Dustin back. And we didn't see Dustin, but...
And he did fake us out by not only posting to Twitter, but Instagram. Like,
I'm not surprised.
You social media'd for what? Were you even there, Dustin?
Anne said, she was like, surely he wouldn't post on two different platforms if he wasn't going to be there. And I said, what wouldn't he do? And I was right. And I was proven right. Don't ever say surely he would.
Don't count out Dustin. when it comes to disappointing us, don't count in Dustin.
That's what Dustin's saying. He's like, do not ask for Dustin. Don't count Dustin in. Don't put Dustin in an 8-man. Don't put him in a tag team match. Dustin's on the couch.
He's like, he's looking his fan base right in the eyes and saying, keep my name out your mouth.
We love you, Dustin. Come back, come home. But anyway, but we were back at Daly's. Did you flashback, Leah, to us, little baby wrestling fans, in the like December 2020? We didn't know that wrestling could happen other places. Some of you who have actually watched wrestling for a long time, I feel like this is the thing that you don't truly understand about us. We just couldn't conceptualize life outside our mother's womb, Daly's place.
It's so funny that people just kept being like, pandemic wrestling was so weird and it was strange and everyone made the best of it. And I'm like, that's what I fell in love with.
I know. It was literally the best of times. We got on the road and we were like, what the fuck is this?
I remember even the first time they let crowds into Daly's space, I'm like, I find them distracting.
I know, we did. We were like, where are the only voices we want to hear singing melodiously out at the matches are those of the Guns. The Gun Club may scream, none else.
And every single time they panned over to that corner and the Guns weren't standing there, I was like, that's wrong. That's where the Guns stand.
This is sick. No one in the Gun corner? That's not how we do this. It really did take me back. And I do think that Daly's place is just a great venue. I mean, it's like, I know I imprinted on it, but they're all coming out that one side. And I don't know. I was just like, this is great.
I know. And Rich keeps saying, like, if you're an AEW fan, you got to take a trip out there at one point. And I'm like, I know.
Should we go to Jacksonville?
I kind of want to.
Should we go? Let's go. Let's
imagine
go.
Imagine telling people in our lives, oh, yeah, I'm going on vacation to Jacksonville next week. But you know what? I'd love it.
I think that if they, what I would really like is for them to get back to Jacksonville for like a summer fun type event. Because as I was saying last night, the thing I do miss most about those Daily's Play shows is the golden hour. Yeah. Is when it's sunset and Hangman is moonsaulting and it's just a beautiful glow around him. And it feels like the whole world was made for Hangman to moonsault in.
Yeah. That is why Dark failed, because they weren't doing it in the daytime anymore.
So matter-of-factly. And that's actually why Dark failed. Hey, Allie, did you know, fun fact, it's actually why Dark failed.
they needed to have those matches in the late afternoon, and then the show would start, Hangman would come out, moonsault in the sunset, and then everything would be okay. When those things happened, that was good.
That was good. I think AEW should make a official promotion sanctioned fan vid set to Summer Lovin' that's just like those dark matches that happened in the daytime at Daily's Place. Oh, take us back. Okay, well, we can go back to talking about the actual wrestling now. Dynamite at Daily's Place, but in the dark, opened with Claudio versus Hangman. Do we know why this match happened? I'm not saying we have to, but is there a reason?
I feel like somebody's going to be like, oh, well, on Rampage or Collision, somebody called somebody out.
Well, but we didn't watch them, so.
I don't think it was on any of the shows that we watched. And great. That's I don't think it was for any storyline reason.
We don't know, and that's okay. Hangman, however, was very revved up. He has a lot of energy recently, angry energy, and he ended up defeating Claudio with back-to-back buckshot lariats. My God, what did Manolo say that got me so upset here? Oh my. Okay, so Leah introduced her recapper that she reads every week, Eric Beeston. I read Manolo at Cage Side Seats, and he doesn't hate the Bucks, but he's a lunatic. And so I actually do recently, as I've said, I think that sometimes he's using AI. Although this week it was pretty normal, so I wonder if he experimented with AI and then got shut down, or shut it down because he didn't feel like his own unique voice was shining through enough. Anyway, I
love the idea that he, like, he read his transcript back and was like, ooh, that's not me.
That's not me. You know? That's not the Manolo that I know Allie has come to despise a little bit, but also love in her own way. Anyway, Manolo said about this match, he said, after this performance, I can fully sell myself into believing Hangman could win the AEW World Championship post-haste. Do I think that will happen? No, but it's about believing in the story enough to go for the ride. The implication that you didn't buy the idea that Hangman could be champion, I can't get into it. You know what? It's just shut it down.
It's fucking crazy. It's crazy. I mean, this is the thing is that people have broken brains that because Hangman disappears for a period of time, that they're like, oh, well, he's dead. But like every time he comes back, like you don't think, Manolo, you don't think that Hangman could have had a championship hunt, maybe not gotten it, but had a believable championship hunt after the Moxley feud? Come on. Like, just because they didn't give it to him.
It don't make sense. Okay? Now,
He's a fool.
Let's talk about Claudio real quick. Now, I think it's safe to say we both like Claudio, right? Mm. Mm-hmm. We both enjoy this man. Now, I don't take Claudio seriously as a wrestler.
Now, for some reason, I thought you were going to be like, as a man.
I consider him. No, look, I know he is a very good wrestler, but I think that like my feeling about Claudio this week has intersected with your feeling about Claudio. And actually, it's like, we're just talking because I loved this match. I had a great time. It's like no shade on Claudio. But do you want to hit us with what Eric Beeston wanted? You don't have to read it if you don't want to, but you can tell us what he had to say.
If there was one negative, it was Cascagnoli netting another loss. One of the most talented wrestlers in the world and one of the most gifted technicians on the roster, the idea that he loses as much as he does in these high-profile TV matches is somewhat astonishing. He has the look and the feel of a world champion with the talent to back it up, but is defined by little more than being a good wrestler. This may ruffle some feathers and inspire outrage, but he very much could benefit from a singles push that is about him rather than tagging along with the BCC. Dude, that's the reason why he's not going to get, or he shouldn't get a title push anytime soon. He doesn't give you anything else other than I am the enforcer for the BCC. He had those Connie promos. Like, he had this time that he was sitting in front of Giancarlo's camera saying, I want to know who Giancarlo is. Doesn't matter. He had this time that he could have said, like, this is what's going on with me. This is the reason I'm in this, Connie. This is what I care about. This is what I'm mad about. The only things you can ever say about Claudio are in relation to somebody else. His relationship with Eddie is, but like, that feud
Eddie
is about
drives
Eddie.
That emotionally.
Right.
Because Claudio was always responding with just like, oh, are you mad? Why are you hitting yourself, Eddie? Why are you hitting yourself?
And his relationships with all the members of the BCC, they're always dominated by the other members. You know,
yeah.
Like, he abuses Yuta. That's about Yuta. You know what I mean? Like, he's Mox's backup. Like, tell me, like, one thing about Claudio's personality. You can't. How is that AEW's fault? Like, why should AEW push him?
No, and I think I don't think that Claudio is begging to be pushed, which I love. Mm. I think Claudio seems pretty happy where he is. And the thing that I think that I get out of Claudio, whether he's a heel or a face in his presentation on TV, I'm like, he seems like a good coworker. That is what that man is giving. He said, I come to work and I'm happy. I brought you a coffee this morning. he calls you his little buttercup. You know, it's like,
I think I got a little bit feisty because I was really mad at Eric Beeston today.
But yeah,
like, it's not Claudio's fault. I don't think Claudio is badly behaved. Like, he's not pulling a Ricky. It's not like I think he's agitating backstage, but I don't know. I just get aggravated when people are like, well, he's only defined by being a good wrestler. Why would AEW do that to him? I'm like, why doesn't he tell me one thing? Can you get with Swerve and Hangman? Get into one of those little sessions and just talk about your motivations.
He can't. He doesn't want to. He just wants to make sweet puns, and that's okay. I mean, I know that someone has been out there yelling at me this whole time, like, what do you mean you don't respect Claudio as a wrestler? I want to be really clear. Like, Claudio's a great wrestler. I love watching him wrestle, but it's what Leah is saying that means it's like he's not the kind of wrestler that I want to watch in, like, a significant singles role. It's that, like, he doesn't seem to have a lot of interest in the character elements. So it's just always like, Claudio seems like a nice dude, and he's here to do a great job physically in the ring. And that's fine. Yeah. It's like, but it's just so funny that, like, I do feel like we're always just reading men being like, why doesn't anyone respect Claudio? And it's like, I respect him for what he is, a great coworker. Yeah.
He's like the cheerleader that's at the base of the pyramid. And like, she's essential. The pyramid
she's essential.
Would not happen without her.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But she
absolutely
shouldn't be at the top.
No, she doesn't want to be. She doesn't want to be. She loves being a base. She's one of the best bases in the biz. She loves it down there. Okay. So they had that whole match. And then later in the show, Samoa Joe came out to do his first in-ring promo as champ. And I will read this quote that Leah pulled for us. And this is what he had to say. Here are the changes we're making to the championship protocol. No more will you have to come out and whine on this mic about your poor misfortune. You bring your record and your reputation and you submit it to the championship committee. And if you're deemed worthy, you walk out and have me stomp your ass in front of anyone who's ever cheered for you. For the new championship era is here. And for all of you who want a piece of me, your champion will be waiting. For the new championship era is here is kind of a Catholic cadence to this, to be honest. But you know what? I love it. He said, no more whining.
Here's the thing. We all thought that the Samoa Joe era was going to be boring and that he wouldn't have any good ideas. Guess what? He came up with a brilliant one.
Yeah.
I need to see a line of wrestlers nervously and sweatily clutching their resumes, waiting in line to get in front of the championship committee and say, here are my credentials. The championship committee asks questions like a interview panel, and then they make their decisions. They post the lineup on a piece of paper taped to the
door. Oh, did I make the list? Oh, did I get the role of first challenger? I am a little worried that I think that, so as you will briefly describe, immediately three men come out being like, I want championship. I'm like, Samojo should have been like, did y'all listen to the fucking promo? I made it very clear that you can take this to the committee first and to me second. Enough.
He should have been like, guys.
Listening. It's a skill we'll be working on under my... Honestly, it would have been a pretty good burn on MJF to be like, I know you could just tune that guy out and get the gist, but with me, you're actually going to have to pay attention. Okay, so he gave this promo, and then he was interrupted by Swerve in the Mogul Embassy. So Swerve laying it out there again that he's coming for Samojo's belt. And then his interruption was interrupted by Hangman, who came out to basically be like, I had a big year. I kind of lost sight of the belt, but it's in my sights again. And I haven't forgotten what you did to me, Joe. Beat him up, devil stuff, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to take the title. And then this was the whole setup of this is so great because it's like they're both out there to be like, Joe, I want your belt. But then Hangman and Swerve are kissing, posing each other while Joe is just on the other side of the ring looking around so delight, like memeably delighted. Like, y'all seeing this? This is crazy. They are nuts about each other. They cannot keep their hands off each other.
I don't know if any of, like, I want someone to pull a still from that moment of just like, just Joe delighted being like, this shit is crazy.
It was so good for me.
And Swerve and Hangman were intimately rubbing noses.
Oh, yeah.
Like, ooh, those men could fight every day for a year and never get tired of it.
Now, do you think Swerve is going to grow a mustache this year, along with everybody else in the company? Well, now we've got, so Hangman grew his beautiful 70s mustache. Yeah. Just hunks it. Every time I see it, I'm not going to say what I would say that Leah would bleep. So let's just put it that way. The Young Bucks grew out their puber mustaches. absolutely perfect little mustaches. And Roddy Strong also, we won't really get into it, but he's also been growing out a mustache. I think it looks pretty good. You think Swerve's going to join the train? This big question. Meltzer is not asking
I'm working on a separate theory.
That
Swerve started wearing the eyeliner.
Yes.
And Hangman said, hey.
Hold on.
I'm not letting you win my title, which is most attractive hunk in SEW.
Oh, yeah.
So he grew the mustache as a direct counter
fate,
to the eyeliner.
Perry. They're battling. They're on the ramparts. Yes.
Hangman's in a locker room with the Young Bucks. They see Hangman growing this luscious, beautiful mustache. And the Young Bucks say, what if we did that but way worse? like way worse. Meanwhile, like hiding in the crack of the door, Roddy Strong looking for like, anything. He's like, oh my God, are we doing mustaches this year? Great.
Hey guys.
I'll also do that.
He cheated off their test, basically.
Yeah.
He was like, what are y'all getting up to? Mustaches? Okay, I'll put that down too. I'll work on one too. To be honest, I love it. I would not have said like 2 months ago, like, yeah, 2024 should be the year of the mustache. Oh my God, did you see on Twitter because of the various stories and, did you see everyone being like, 2024 is going to be the year of the tunnel?
Oh my God.
That's us, baby.
I did see a whole bunch of tweets about the New York tunnels that, taken out of context, are very funny about our podcast. And I kind of wanted to like make a collage of,
oh my God, do it. That's a little art project.
I saw one that was like straight up like, enough tunnel talk. We've heard too much. And I was like, yes.
Make that our new header, to be honest. Okay, well, let me try and backtrack to what happened there. Why did I bring that up? Oh, year of the mustache. Well, I celebrate it. To all the men, I say, grow them out. I would not have said I wanted it. But keep growing. No. I want to see every kind of mustache you can have. I want to see a broad diversity of mustaches in this company this year.
I'm a New Englander, and there's always a part of the baseball season where the Red Sox, like, they believe that if they shave their facial hair, they'll start losing, right? And so the whole team starts to look insane. I would really like AEW to start doing, like, group things like that. Like, oh, we're all doing mustaches now. And so then you get to see, like, each person's, like, effort, and they can't stop. They can't shave it off because then they'll lose in their ratings. And so, like, all of a sudden you have to, like, see, like, what is Danny Garcia's thick, glorious mustache look like?
Danny Garcia tweet that just said hop off meat. Oh my God. I love that. Just, I want to see the mustaches. And also, I love any time you're looking into a community and you just see a fad starting to bloom like yeast and spread and grow. It's so good. Grow the mustaches. My men, my beautiful men. Okay, and then the last thing that happened with Samoa Joe was that Hangman and Swerve left. I think, like, without really engaging with Samoa Joe anymore. Like, they were just like, woof, wow, that took it out of me. I gotta get out of here.
It's crazy how irrelevant Samoa Joe was to that entire segment. Like, it was so funny. Like, I think Nana, like, escorted Swerve out and, like in this very funny way where he was kind of, like, soothingly stroking Swerve and being like, it's okay.
Sir,
it's
you're okay. Too worked
we'll
up.
Go backstage. I'll get you a snack. You're okay. Again, this is, we've made him a toddler again, but, like, he was just soothing Swerve in a very funny way.
Nobody was a toddler in this segment. It was Hunk City. It was absolutely Hunk City.
I don't know what they're going to do, though, because, like, I don't know. Like, you know, this is one of those moments where I'm like, I'm sure people are like, oh, like, it's a wrestling trope. This has been done a billion times.
They're like, this is like when Bruiser Brody and Eggman fought. That's the wrestler name I came up with, Eggman, and then I didn't have a name to follow it with. I couldn't think of a man's name. Eggman Jack. Bruiser Brody and Eggman Jack fought at WrestleSlam. and a third man. Another man. Gilbert Blythe.
Shut it down! Bruiser Brody, Eggman Jack,
and Gilbert Blythe.
And Shirley's husband, Gilbert Blythe.
Yeah, at WrestleSlam. At WrestleSlam 95.
At 95.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what the trope is here.
No,
but
no.
Swerve can't win the belt yet. Like, I don't think so. I want him to win it, but not yet.
Yeah.
But Hangman shouldn't be Samoa Joe's first.
It's like watching myself try to do math in live
time. I'm like, yeah, Hook makes sense. Feed Hook to Samoa Joe. Like,
yeah.
Shouldn't we have, like, three or four useless challengers before we get?
Well, I think I've seen people on Twitter suggesting that perhaps Samoa Joe, Swerve, Hangman could be a three-way. I know men hate them, but that's where we might end up at Revolution. And that does seem like it would be like a pay-per-view level kind of deal. So I guess they could move towards something like that. I don't really, I'm going to need to see a little more before I start to speculate about how this storyline could go.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, we don't have the reference for Eggman. We don't
hey, guys, if you could just send us that Gilbert Blythe Eggman Jack Bruiser Brody match from WrestleSlam 90. I think Bruiser Brody may have been dead in 95. I don't know when that man wrestled.
But Gilbert Blythe wasn't?
He was never alive, Leah. You think we're doing good at walking ourselves tonight?
I think somewhere Anna's like, cut it. Cut it.
I mean, we're 40 minutes into this episode. Actually, 45. We're 45 minutes in. We've covered two topics. It's a little rough. Let's, Do we don't really have that much to say about Adam Cole. Adam Cole cut another. Roddy Strong fought with his mustache. He fought Brian Keith. He won. Adam Cole gave this little promo being like, the Undisputed Kingdom is going to win all the gold. And then that led to this backstage segment where Jay White was being like, not on my watch because I love having gold and I'm not going to let Adam Cole have it. And then the Acclaimed showed up to be like, Jay White and the Guns, maybe like we should actually like combine forces. And Jay White was like, we'll think about it. I don't know. I think my guess was that Bullet Club Gold might actually get the trios belts off of the Acclaimed out of this.
Yeah.
Snake behavior.
I think, yeah. Well, I think that's right. And I think that's good probably, especially because it's like Jay White needs something good to happen to him. But like, I don't know. The Acclaimed, I feel
it's like we're all in danger. We're all in danger if he doesn't get something good soon. I cannot stop thinking. I haven't for a moment stopped thinking about when you said that man's brain is in upside down. Yeah. It's hooked up all the wrong stuff.
All the wrong stuff. Don't you think the Acclaimed have like a thing going on where it's like Tony took the tag titles away from them probably like 2 to 3 weeks too soon. Like everybody was mad. They didn't want the tag titles to go at the moment that they did.
Yeah.
But then, so he was like, I'm so sorry about that. Here's the trios titles and you can keep them as long as you want. But it's like, well, that like you also had to like do something with them and they kind of haven't. So like the trios run has gone on for a really long time, but absolutely has nothing cool to it.
I think Tony's attitude, to me, it seems like his attitude, I think they could have gone even longer than 2 to 3. I think they could have had another couple months. Like you probably could have milked it. That could be wrong because it's like, what do I remember about the past? But I certainly don't think they should have lost him. That was crazy. And then I think Tony did knowingly, he like parked the belts, the trios belts with the Acclaimed. He was like, yeah, and that's on pause. So you guys can, you know, fuck around, you know, just have fun. Cause I'm not doing anything with those for a while. How I feel.
Yeah.
So that's not different than what you said, but I think like it wasn't even about, I think that he was just like, great. Now I don't have to think about that for a while.
Yeah.
And
someone we know recently suggested that like, they should just retire the trios belts because it's like they're not really working. And I kind of agree with that. I'm like, I kind of thought that when they were announced. I was like, I don't think we have enough trios that are distinct from the tag division for this to really work. And now I think that's part of what's been going on with the tag division is that they raided the tag division to serve the trios division.
They did, but I still think that you could... Sometimes I say things on this podcast and I know that someone is going to yell at me about it or just be like, that's so stupid. But it's like, couldn't you be using the trios belts more in like faction infighting where it's like, like they are secondary belts, but where it's like as a faction, you're just trying to pick them up, like not really to have them as your main belts, just to like, just to have a little bling. Like, I don't know. I think... I'm a little bit like no quitsies on it. And I'm like, well, we have them now. So I don't think we can get rid of them. So we're going to have to make it work, Tony. If we're in the studio all night cooking up trio storylines, we're going to keep at it because we're going to make it work.
Do you think that he can just leave them with the Acclaimed for like 5 years? Like just straight up be like, I don't know what to tell you. They're just our longest reigning champs.
No, I think Jay White and the Guns are going to get them. I think that's what's going to happen. And I think that'll be good.
So you don't think Bang Bang Scissor Gang is going to work out?
I guess I'm not sold on the idea of those men managing to cooperate. I don't think a single man in that group knows about cooperation, really.
God, I wish that we somehow could make them do the marshmallow thing where they all work together to build a marshmallow tower, like a tower that could support a marshmallow. They couldn't do it.
You know, have you ever had to do one of those, it's like a similar type of deal, but it's like one of those group bonding games where it's like everyone has an instruction, but you can't communicate your instruction to anybody else. Like, you can't say what you're supposed to do, and you're trying to build something. So it's like, you just have to like watch what other people are doing and then like try and wordlessly communicate. You can't like point and be like, I need that block. So someone could be taking the block you need, but you can't. Have you ever done this?
No.
I'd love to watch men. Honestly, any men, I don't think it would go that well with most men, but with most anybody, but I'd love to watch some wrestlers just try and do that absolute breakdown. I don't think they would do well. Let's briefly check in on what's been going on in the women's division. We had to kind of piece some of this stuff together because we didn't see it. So we'll be better about Collision now in future, surely. But so Chris and Willow, I guess, squashed some jobbers on Rampage last week. For some reason, I think I did see this. And I believe what's happening. I think
you did because you were with Anne.
That's right. I was driving back to Minneapolis. I stayed with Anne. We watched Rampage. Wow. Thank you. I had a really nice time, Anne. I'm sorry that I forgot that. I was just mostly remembering our chatter. We did talk through a lot of it. I would not say it was a riveting Rampage. So I believe what's happening is that Stokely wants to represent Chris Statlander, and she is kind of no-selling it. That's what's happening?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and he's also like doing it in a way where he's like being kind of rude to Willow. I think he's trying to like...
Yes, that's right. He's trying to split them, yes. Yes, he gave her that big, he gave Stat that big intro and then gave Willow no intro. Yeah. Okay. So, Sheeta also fought Anna Jay on Rampage. And then somehow, don't know how, we ended up with an 8-woman match on Rampage where Anna Jay, Stat, Thunder Rosa, and Willow were fighting Julia Hart, Sky Blue, Ruby, and Saraya. And I guess that is basically face heel, except that Anna Jay, like that whole faction, is in kind of a limbo where you're like, I don't really know what you want me to think. But
Anna Jay was actively hanging out with the outsiders, like actively hanging out with Ruby and Saraya. And I don't.
But
think
then she
they
got
had, like, a breakup.
They did. I think she got booted somehow. Oh, yeah, well, we can't commit to this. I think she got booted, and that's how Harley Cameron ended up with the outsiders instead. Because Anna Jay was annoyed. And now Harley Cameron is... And I don't know why that woman goes here. I don't know who she... I know we've seen her in lots of storylines now. I don't know who she is. I don't understand it. Does she wrestle? I don't think so. She's just...
I don't know. She hit on Anthony Bowen.
And she hit on Jeff Parker, even though he got a little something already going on. She's a man stealer and a gay man hit her on her. My goodness, that's a lot for one woman to be doing.
God.
Well, I don't know why any of this was happening, but I did think this match was really fun. I had a really good time.
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. For all that I'm complaining about how, like, the women's characterization is nothing, I do think that, like, it's when they do a tag match, they're like, it is very fun.
It's great. And they did some really fun spots. Like, it was just a good time. I really enjoyed it. We also got some backstage interviews with Deonna Purrazzo and Toni Storm. So Deonna's going to fight Red Velvet. They had a really fun little promo exchange. I thought that was good. And then Toni's going to investigate. She's going to get to the bottom of what's going on with Deonna. So wink, wink. No, I think that's great. Yeah. So I look forward to seeing that.
Every week I'm like, is this the week that Toni Storm starts annoying me? And it's not yet.
It's not yet. Her delivery is so good. I mean, she has great comic delivery, so she's getting away with it.
She really is.
Can we check in about our misery gripes? I know we're going to go a little over an hour, but can we?
Who can stop us? Who's going to stop us?
I'm like, you know, in fairness, Anne, we know you wouldn't stop us. You would let us have these gripes, and you would gripe too. We can't wait for you to be back next week. Okay, Mommy's Little Gripe Sessions. First up, Sammy and Ricky had a match on Dynamite. Sammy Guevara, you know him. Ricky Starks, you unfortunately know him. And Sammy won the match. I don't think this match was that good. Is that right?
No. I thought it was really boring, and I, like, wasn't, like, I was, watching, but, like, not really. And then all the men were like, it was botchy. And so I was like, oh, I'd love to hear that. Because usually people are like, oh, they're spot monkeys. But like, I don't think the spots worked.
Monkeying unsuccessful.
Well, it's like no characterization, no charisma, and the wrestling sucked. What do you have left, my friend?
I think, you know, this, it was funny to be in this position because I now dislike Ricky so much that I was kind of like, I guess I'm rooting for Sammy. I guess, yeah, I guess Sammy's okay now. And is that really how I feel? No, not really. But situationally, yeah. I am sometimes like a little Stockholmed. I didn't get the chance to say this earlier in the episode. This is pretty disturbing. But during that ape man, at one point I thought to myself, Oh, Brian Cage. Any man can get you. That's what they're not teaching you in school.
So true. It's so true. Oh, well, we didn't mention this. Oh, yeah, no, I didn't mention this, that I had a similar situation in the Adam Cole promo when I was looking at Wardlow.
Because yeah, Wardlow, you know, what you said was so right.
He was wearing a hoodie and baggy sweatpants, and he was just standing there, and his entire vibe was giving, I gotta get out. I gotta go out there and shovel before it comes down anymore. It's getting late. I gotta get out there. I was like, you know what? When a man is willing to go out and shovel the driveway so I don't have to, yeah, of course I like it.
And that is...
Like, yeah, I'm down with Wardlow.
That's exactly right. And it's like that also is your boyfriend who does go out and shovel, comes back in, he's stomping off in the front, like taking his gloves off, taking his hat off, and you come out and you're just in your pajamas and you have the trash and you're like, can you take the trash out? And he's like... I just came in, but he does take the trash out.
Yeah, he does. He takes it out. He rolls his eyes and he makes a little face at you, but yeah, he does it. Of course he does it.
Yeah, he does it. So, so I guess Stockholm by all the men this week. Anna's going to be really disturbed when she hears this.
I know.
Woof.
I know. I can't wait till she listens and she's like, sorry, so you complimented Sammy and Wardlow?
And Brian Cage.
Yeah, those are our favorites now.
And Brian Cage. And my lover, Brian.
Those are our favorites.
No, these men are all figures of comedy to us, but
they're not men to us.
They're not men to us. But, you know, I think there's something like Brian Cage and Wardlow, especially when I'm just watching them in their background roles and I don't feel like they're agitating for more. I feel just quite at my leisure to enjoy them for what they are. Weird meat and my boyfriend who takes the trash out. Don't listen to this, Brian Cage. I'm sorry. You're a human being. I know that. Anyway, but Sammy and Ricky, the thing that's really crazy about this to me, it's like, it's fine, whatever. Sammy and Ricky fighting each other, whatever. But just to have commentary actively being like, wow, two of our brightest shining young stars, which is also what you got from Eric Beeston this week, being like, oh, Ricky's so organically over and charismatic. It's like, they are in their 30s. They are not, like, these are not your Hooks, your little Danny Garcias, your Yudas, your Lee Moriartys. Like, these aren't your little teeny babies who it's like we're building the company on their backs. I mean, these aren't even your Jungle Boys, your Darbys, your MJFs. These are grown-ass men. And at some point, can we not all collectively admit that they have a ceiling because, again, they don't want to have characters? It's fine. I guess mostly with Sammy, I'm at a point where it's like, yeah, Sammy can wrestle. Like, Sammy can do amazing feats of strength and agility, but he'd never want to do a storyline for me. Ricky Starks never want to do a storyline for me. It is a ceiling. It's a ceiling.
Yeah.
Stop lying to me. Some of our most organically over hottest young stars. They're old.
They're old and they're not over. Who is Ricky over with at this point?
I don't know. Like, just people who love whiners. But you know what, Ricky? Not under Samoa Joe's reign, buddy. No.
You take it to the committee.
You make your case to the committee. And baby, the committee is us. Denied, rejected.
We should send in our applications to Samoa Joe and just be like, listen, hey, would be a great committee for you. We would pick you absolutely such good opponents.
Oh my God. And I know we could do it. And we'd have we have a spreadsheet. We'll keep track of everything. If at a later date you say, hey, didn't Ricky put in an application? Maybe we were wrong about it. We'll have it all. We'll be able to present you immediately with, no, this is what we got from Ricky. And it was a immediate denied.
We're only going to do one thing under the table.
Yeah.
And that's that we're going to forge an application from Chuck Taylor. Chuck Taylor is going to say, I didn't apply. And we're going to say, your signature is right here. I don't know what to tell you.
Sir, you've been approved. You've been approved for a match against the champ. Dustin is looking at us with daggers in his eyes. He says, what the fuck do you mean I've been approved for a match against the champ? Go to hell. We say, we're your biggest fans, sir. We're your biggest fans. Go out there and do your best. That's all anyone can ask.
We knew that you wanted the main event of pay-per-view against Samoa Joe. We just knew it. We knew that that's what you wanted. Don't worry about it.
You were just scared to say it. You were scared to say it. We got your back. We got your back every time, baby. Oh, my God. And then the only other thing is that little Danny Garcia is for some... Do you know why he has been pulled into the FTR orbit?
No, I've been a terrible collider. I'm really losing my cred full time. And I think this is all happening on Collision because as someone in our group chat said, FTR is the only act that hasn't managed to escape the Collision Island. But
because you suck ass.
They have sucked Daniel Garcia into their orbit.
Their asses.
And I say to Tony with my gun in the back of his, the small of his
still
back,
digging in.
Yeah.
Daniel Garcia took the Connie, and you told him he was going to lose all but one match, and he made a meal of it. Was it all coherent? I don't know.
No.
But he worked his little ass off, and you give him this? You give him backup dancer to FTR?
It's sickening.
I hate you, Tony. I hate you.
Daniel Garcia is actually one of our most most organically over and charismatic young stars. And you put him with Mr. Hair and Mr. Gunn? No, nope, Mr. Hair and Mr. Gunn are the same man. Mr. Mr. Hair and Mr. Gunn is the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde of FTR.
I will never forget the One Nation Radio where James put forth a theory that Dax is so annoying as to take some of the attention away from Cash, who is on the edge of homicide at all times.
But you know what? I really think that's true. I think he was completely right because it's like Hair did go completely under the radar until he actively pulled a gun on another driver on a highway. Like, it's like that is pretty far to get with people just being like, he seems normal and fine. He was doing great. If only he just could have not. I mean, it's like, how can you not pull a firearm while you're driving because someone won't speed up when you want him to or whatever? He had no choice. I understand that. But
no, I mean, what else can you do?
What else can you do? We've all done it, of course. Pretty normal stuff.
If they don't give Daniel Garcia a normal ass story.
Just a normal story.
A normal. Hey, Tony, what if you did it normal?
Hey, Tony, here's a crazy idea. You consider just giving him a jab in the gun. Normal story? Just a normal ass story?
Just a normal ass story.
Hey, Tony. The thing is, I'm like, he's not for them. Danny Garcia?
No, he's not for them. They don't understand him. They won't take care of him.
No, they won't take care of him.
They won't treat him well. No.
No. No.
Get him out of there.
They can't. He is a little lion cub, and they are not zookeepers.
They're not going to have enrichment activities for him?
No. They don't even know what to feed him. They're just feeding him tequila and cigarettes or something.
Maybe Daniel Garcia should join the Bucks faction with JB.
Yeah. I think it's the only safe place for him. To be honest, we may have to take custody. We, the Bucks. We, members of the Bucks team. We may have to take custody of this young boy.
Yeah, we'll just come in and, like, social workers and be like, this home is not appropriate.
You have not passed the inspection. We've got to take him to his new foster home, the Young Bucks. The Young Bucks family estate.
Well,
I think we did a good job.
I think we did a good job. Like, I think,
like,
yeah.
I don't want to, like, you know, jinx anything, and I'm sure the viewers will let us know, but I think all of this was pretty arable.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to have to cut anything. Maybe a couple bleeps. I don't really remember much of what we said, but maybe a couple bleeps. And we'll be back next week. And I know that she will be very excited also to say some unconscionable things about wrestling, the sport we love.
We need her back. This was a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
We need her back.
Yeah, and you can tell.
We need three legs to the stool.
We got a little hysterical in there. I mean, there were moments. I'm not saying it's not unairable, but yeah, we are hysterical.
And I think I got really mad at Claudio.
You did, yeah. I love it. Like,
formally apologize to Claudio.
A little bit of a drunk girl energy in here right now. Like, was I yelling at someone?
It's can like we do aftercare. Yeah,
don't
really
worry
quick?
About it. Oh my god! Canceled. Red. Bleep all of that.
Mark Hamill.
Okay, so that's it. That's it for us. I've been Allie.
I've been Anne.
You were waiting for me to say it. You're waiting for me to say it.
I know, because it's funny. I've been Leah.
And I've been Anne. And I've been Allie. And this has been Tunnel Talk. Our theme is by Chris Corkin. You can find us on Twitter and Tumblr at Tunnel Talk Pod via email, tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. You can also now find us on the Social Suplex Discord. Should I say that?
Yeah, absolutely. We were having fun. We made all of the men post pictures of their mustaches to show.
Well, they did it willingly.
Moment happening.
Yeah, they did it willingly, and I loved it. I loved every single one of those pictures. Yeah, we're having a good time in there. We're talking about our Georgia Heyer novels, so that's fun. And so you can see us there, or you can. What else do I usually say to them? Oh, subscribe to us. You can subscribe to us on the Social Suplex Network stream, or
we've been posting YouTube clips.
We're in
the future now.
Yeah, I've
not of our faces or anything. We're not that crazy. But
we're not that great. You'll never see us, but. Yeah, or you can subscribe to us normally on Apple Podcasts, same way you already do, maybe, and, come back next week. Was that okay? I'll write this down for next week. Could have been worse.